All right, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Today is our 15th day. I tell you, we're almost halfway through it already. Can you believe it? We're on our 15th day. And I do have a word for you guys this morning. If you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 4, the book of Psalms. Some Bibles have it with an S and some is just Psalm. So I like to call it just Psalm. So Psalm chapter 4. Lord, I just pray this morning as I bring this word, Lord, that the anointing will just pour over like oil over their hearts today, Lord, and that they would hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. So I got to thinking, you know, what does it mean when it says that he enlarges us? So I looked it up. It means that God will provide relief, freedom, and space to breathe during a tight, constrained, and stressful situation. Because I don't know about you, but that's how I've been feeling. Very squeezed and in a lot of pressure and heaviness. So when it says that God will enlarge me, it means that he's going to get me out of this tight, constrained situation. He is moving us from a trapped place to a broad, open place. Isn't that beautiful? He is delivering us from distress, removing our anxiety and persecution. It's a spiritual and personal growth which deepens our reliance on him. It's an expansion of influence, enlarging our tent, our influence. It's a shift from limitation, no more being boxed in. This is a pretty big deal, just off of the very first verse. So let me read that again to you. Hear me when I call, O God, of my righteousness. Righteousness is right living. Why are you right living? Because you believe in God when you get saved. You have enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. We need God this morning to hear our prayer. O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah, which means falsehood. How long will you be walking fake? But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself, and the Lord will hear when I call on him. So basically, we are set apart. He is jealous for us. I've told you the story. I don't have to rehash my testimony. But that was the whole reason I ran from God for 12 years. It's because he was jealous for me. And I didn't want to give him what he wanted. I didn't want to give him all of me. I only wanted to give him pieces, you know, a part of me. I didn't want to give him all of me. But he's jealous for us. And he wants our undivided attention, 100% of our heart. And in a marriage, I can give you an example of what that's like. When you are married and you're a woman and you have a husband, When your heart is pure towards that husband, there's no lies between you and him. There's no secrets between you and him. There's no deceiving him. There's no going behind his back and talking about him to other people. There's no putting him down to other people. That is a pure heart. That is pure love. And like I say, when me and Dennis first had our first big fallout over the past almost 4 years, I told him, Dennis, I have a blot towards you. I feel it in my heart. It's a hardness I'm building towards you because I'm so angry. You know, so we've got to deal with this because I don't like that spot being there. In other words, I felt it. I felt it in my heart that I was building up anger towards my husband. When we had, because he humbled himself at that time, and we forgave one another with all of our heart, and my heart was pure. It was clean again. I felt a pure, unadulterated love towards him. So now I don't have that blot, you know. So I think about that when it comes to the Lord, that there is an undivided loyalty, a devotion that we have to our husband, God, that we have to him, that every decision we're making and everything we're doing is about that devotion, you know. And it's an unadulterated love without a blot, without a block, you know. And the same with your husband. See, I believe that's what leads to divorce, which I've been there, so this is how I know, okay, is that if those blots are not dealt with, each one has to be dealt with, okay? When you deal with them, you know, shut the devil up. Because there's still an open door when there's offense. So you have to deal with that offense, and you have to be healed and forgive and shut that door to the enemy. That's why the Bible says, don't go to bed mad. Don't go to bed with that blot in your heart because it will fester overnight. You deal with it while there's sunshine, you know, and you forgive and you let it go and you move forward. Because there is no one on the earth that's perfect. There's no one. Everyone, every person has issues. And when you're married, you take the good, the bad, the ugly, the sick, and the healed, and the problems and the issues, and you take those. And it's the same way when you're married to Jesus. You know, he knew this when he took your hand. He knew what he was dealing with. He knew the condition of your heart and your hardness of your heart because you've been so hurt that you just can't give him all yet because you still don't have that trust to him yet. He knows all that. So we just have to deal with that heart today. Pull those hard roots out and ask God to refill those roots with a healing balm of Gilead that will heal those blots, you know. Because in the future, you're going to have that blot removed. You're going to have that purity because the enemy right now, we think we've got problems. We ain't seen nothing yet. When he comes and he hits us with all darts because his infrastructure is ready and now he can be full-blown, you know, everything in obedience to AI, then we will have to have our, you know, our hearts clean, ready for that assault, so that we can, you know, flow right on into heaven, if you know what I mean. So just know, like in verse 3, that the Lord has set you apart as a beautiful bride unto himself, and he is jealous for you. The Lord will hear you when you call on him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. See, that was a word to me this morning. I told you about this anxiousness I've had in my heart lately. That was the Lord speaking to me this morning. Be still and know that I am God. Just be still and wait on me. When I want you to make big decisions and do stuff, I'll tell you. Be still and know that I am working on your behalf. You just have to have faith. You know, we talked about this yesterday, about our faith. Number 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Righteousness, right living. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Righteousness is not touching the unclean thing. Like I showed you on the news last night, this big new move of this new evangelical alliance, where they're wanting everybody to be ecumenical and to be horizontal and to be of a collective consciousness, and everybody's loving one another, and there's no judging over here, and you know, you can partner with LGBT and all this other stuff because it's all in the name of love. But in righteousness, no, we cannot touch the unclean thing. It's not that we are not loving you. We're loving you from afar, because the word is what it is. We can't change God, you know, and he cannot be around that stuff. He can't be around sin. So, you know, you're going to have to answer to God for that. That's your own deal, you know. But for us, in other words, we can't control other people. That's the basic thing everybody needs to remember. We can't control you. You're going to be you. You know, you do what you do based on your own lust. You do what you do based in your own mind. You've got your own mind. So if you want to go out here and do all this stuff, you have all rights to, you know. Just know there's a consequence on the other side of that, you know. But I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You want me to respect you over here? Well, you need to respect me over here, you know. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Now, putting your trust in the Lord. I told you guys yesterday about my family member that blames me for everything, even though I've been there for them. Yada, yada. But I know that I'm just the fall guy. They don't really want to see what's really happening type of deal, which is fine. But here's the thing. They're facing homelessness, like imminent, okay? And the difference is, which I tried to tell them, homelessness with Jesus and homelessness without him is two different realities. The whole point of people being in judgment right now and suffering is so they see who their God is. What God they choose is the results they're going to get. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Like I said, we can't always be the answer to people's problems. Pulling them out and saving them, you know, without them having to see and suffer and hit the bottom in order for them to see that this is what you get because you're serving this God. He doesn't care about you. This is why you need Jesus, you know. Because when I was homeless, I never went without a bed except one night. And I told you about that night. I had one night, I did not have a bed. And that was because of my own choice, because they had a wedding, they was all partying, and I couldn't stand it, so I left. I slept in my car, which was horrible. It was the night before church. It was on Saturday night. And it was real hot that night. And I, you know, rolled down my window so I could have some breath, but then you didn't want it too far down where somebody could reach in there. You think about all this stuff. You know, so I'm really sweating and everything by the time Sunday morning comes. And then I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want to go to church with all these people that go in there with their hats on and all frou-frou'd up because they have a shower and they have their clothes hanging in a closet. And all I've got is what I have in this car. You know, I have no shower and I feel terrible. I'm stinking. I don't like this. And so I go under this building. Because it was pouring down rain, so I find this little abandoned building that has a roof. So I'm under this building where it's just enough room for the car. And so I'm in there and I'm getting everything organized in the car, and I looked up and here comes Satan. I mean, he walked up to me in a spirit form and he was red. It was like, it looked like a human body walked up to me in a red silhouette. And he walked up to me and got right in my face. He said, I told you, nobody cares about you. You need to just kill yourself. I've had that happen two times. And, you know, he was throwing it up in my face about, you know, the abandonment of my... I've been up since 3 o'clock. The abandonment of my family and everything. And my church and everything. And I mean, boy, he was just, you know, and I listened to him for a minute. And then I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to flee. And he disappeared. So the other time that he did that was at my mother's house when, she came in the room and she vomited on me, but she, you know, was letting the devil speak through, in other words, all this evil stuff. And she turned around, walked out, and the devil come up to me and he said, why don't you just kill yourself? You know, this was during that 3 years of my pit. And, you know, really trying to convince me how terrible of a person I was. And I, you know, I ended up telling that spirit to leave in the name of Jesus as well. All right, so going back to the word over here. Now, so being homeless is what my point is, that when I had Jesus, I always had someone to talk to. Even though the world rejected me, my family and my church, which the Lord told me later, he did that. He pushed them all away so that I would realize that he is my all in all. You know, I know that I know that if God told me to, I could walk out this door and never talk to nobody ever again, and he'd always be with me. There's no fear that God is not going to be with me. That's a fact. The fear that I've been facing lately is over Dennis. See, used to, I'm going to try not to cry. But before I was married, it was only me. And I could do anything. This is why I tell you guys, don't rush to get married. Enjoy your singleness because you have only you to worry about. You can go where you want to go, do what you want to do. But see, it's different now. I'm married. You know, and so I'm not concerned about me per se, and what is going to come to me is him. You know, he's innocent. You know, he hasn't offended the devil, if you know what I mean, as far as Trump and all, you know. So I don't want him to pay the price for what I'm going to have to pay. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So that's kind of been the thing. But going back to being homeless, though, so even when I was homeless and having the Lord to talk to, you know, I was never alone. And that's the big difference. Even though I was abandoned by, you know, earthly people, I began to lean on and learn the wonderful rock that Jesus is in my life, and that he will be with me everywhere. Like when he put me in that desert place for a year and told me to give away my car. That was after I finished that 2017 national tour, 36 states, 18,000 miles. After I finished that, you know, my mom had died that year. And so I got her inheritance, which was like 23 or 24,000. And then I took that and I thought, huh, okay, I got $24,000. I need a place to live. Don't want a house note because I'd rather do ministry. So what I did is I found a trailer that I could just pay off. And I had a trailer park that only cost $125 a month. And I thought, okay, I only have to believe God for maybe $300 a month, you know, for the lot rent and the utilities. And there you go. So that's what I did. So I got a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, older trailer and made it like a little dollhouse. And fell in love with it because I had the deer and the birds, and I had my awesome little prayer closet outside. So I really enjoyed my life there. But I lived in the desert, man. I mean, I was so far away from everybody. I was all by myself in this desert land. But do you know, God showed me that he will take care of me over there. And he did. He would have preachers, prophets, all these people come to me and bring me carloads of food, and they would give me money, and they took care of me. God's people took care of me, you know, which they always have ever since 2013. But he showed me that even back then, when I'm so far away from mankind, you know, living in the desert, that he is still there. He'll take care of me no matter where he has me. You know, type of deal. So, now, put your trust in the Lord. So, if you trust the Lord, there's always hope. But these people that choose to control everything themselves and not trust the Lord, that's their hope. They have no hope. They can't pray to Satan to get out of this situation. He don't care. Now, verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Well, I had to research that. What does it mean by light of your countenance? It means that lift up your favor, your loving kindness, your approval and your blessing shining upon a person. Which I told you my stories of traveling across the country, and I had that the whole time I was on the road. His sun shined on me the whole time. And I told you I only had the one day of rain, and that was the day I left Washington, D.C., which started the tour. It started in D.C. and ended in D.C. 6 months later. And then I did a National Christian March. But anyways, it rained that day. And I had riding on my car, which I told you was a guy gave me a sports car. So I had the riding on the back and on the sides, you know, that we're a Christian nation with my website and Jesus is Lord, you know. And the most miraculous thing happened. I mean, it was pouring down rain. I'm talking those big drops. Do you know, believe this or not, this is one of the miracles that happened on that tour. The rain only hit the front of the car that had no writing on it and did not touch the sides or the back. It was raining so hard I couldn't hardly see. But it's like God put a shield over my writing. It sounds funny, but it happened. And it never rained on it. I kept it on a couple of months. It never rained on my writing. And then I told you the story about when I was in Miami, Florida, and ended up accidentally being in an LGBT parade with all that writing on there. I rolled my window up and started praying in tongues. It was funny. Anyway. Okay. But anyway, going back to, him shining his light on us, the light of his countenance. It also means comforting, illuminating, protective presence of God, like the protection we had over the riding of the car. God looking in on the person with grace, bringing peace and joy and security. Isn't that beautiful? It's a symbol of divine favor. It results in joy and peace. It is protection and guidance. God basically turns his attention towards a person with a positive, gracious expression. Isn't that beautiful? And then he helps us to see the world through his eyes, by the light of his countenance. Now, there was something I was wanting to share. Hold on. There is nothing better than having God's face shine upon you. That's why I was telling you, and that's what's happened to our nation. His face has turned. It's a very sad situation. That's why I laugh at Franklin Graham and them acting like we need to repent. What a farce, people. We got much bigger problems to worry about. We know we got to repent, but so does the nation that you guys have partnered with. You need to be talking to Trump. Go to the head first. Come on now. They need to repent for what they're doing to God and leaving Jesus out of this nation and bringing in the mental health science God that they have, the climate change and everything else they're doing. And they need to repent for not giving our nation over to Jesus the way that it was. So, I mean, it is what it is. But as for us, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. So that's why his face has turned from us, and now we see all the devils. Because it's not that these people, per se, are not doing chemtrails and all the geoengineering. And we know that mankind is doing all this evil. But if God's face was back around where we wanted it to be, and his hand was upon our nation, they wouldn't be able to do this or bring in their AI and all this other stuff, because they are taking over the earth because of the tribulation time that we're in. The judgment that we as a nation and as a people in the earth are in. But in the middle of that, at the same time, of him having his face against the world, his face, excuse me, his face is towards his people. He sees us, and he knows. Our Father, he knows what I need. My Father, he knows what I need, so I'll just stand by
and watch Him provide. For my Father, He knows what I need.
Because he knows what we're going through. So, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up your light of your countenance upon us. Let your favor shine upon us again, God. Let your face shine upon us. Let your glory engulf us, Lord. Fill us from the top of our head to the soles of our feet with your glory. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and wine increased. In other words, as we're suffering, Lord, fill us even more. Make us more joyful, more gladful than we have ever been. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For you, Lord, only make me dwell in safety. Remember I told you the story about my ex-husband and how, you know, I had been praying for 5 years about the severe abuse I was in. And I wouldn't leave until God said. So one day I was visiting this church and this pastor stopped his sermon and he goes, there's a woman in here. If you don't get out of that, your husband's going to kill you. And then he went back to his sermon. He didn't know me from Adam. But God spoke to me right then. He said, you can leave now. I was like, what? After 5 years? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So after praying in tongues all the way home, beating on the steering wheel, my kids, they know when to be quiet when mama's in warfare. And I was battling something. I didn't really know what it was, but I knew it was some type of warfare attack on me and my children. I walked in the house, and the devil himself was sitting there on the couch. Boy, he had it set in his mind he was going to do it that night. He had flames for eyes. I knew what he was going to do. And I put the kids to bed, and I prayed on my way back in. Lord, I need your angels here. I need some help here. But do you know that that whole horrible night that I went through, in my mind, I was in another world. I was free. Nothing he could do, no hitting, nothing would hurt me. Because I finally had freedom. You know, and I believe that's what a lot of the slaves, of course, I can't relate. I'm not even trying to relate to what they went through. And I'm talking about the black people's slavery. But I believe that those old Negro spirituals is how a lot of them made it through that. Because you can be in hell and be free in your mind. When Jesus sets you free, and he gives you that word in the middle of your sorrow and the suffering. That's where those songs are raw because they were hurting so bad. They needed that desperate touch of the Lord. And that's how I felt that night. And I told him, you're not going to do this to me anymore. This is it for me. I knew I was done. I was done. I was free. Jesus set me free. And I made it to the next day and went to a judge, and then he put us in hiding, and we hid for 3 weeks. And then, after they got, you know, done with him, he divorced me. But the point is that, you know, I was free. Whether he was going to hit me or not, I was in free and free indeed. And I believe this is what this scripture means. And I do have to say this, since this is being made public, is that, you know, my ex-husband, the kid's father, is nothing like that now. I believe he got saved. I mean, he's a different man now. He's happily married for many years, over 20 years now. And he's happily married and has a great relationship with my children. So praise be to God that those days are behind us, you know what I mean? So when I tell these stories, you know, there's no bitterness I have towards him, you know, and we all move on and forgive. Amen. All right, now, there is another book that God told me to read, and it's a very short, only 8 verses. So if you would turn in your Bible to Psalm chapter 12. Psalm chapter 12. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful fell from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. So God's going to cut off these prideful tongues that are going after these poor people out here that are hurting. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Who has said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. So do you feel like that in your life today? That you have the wolf at your door just trying to blow your house down? That's what the word is saying right here. God is saying, I will rescue you. Isn't that what we get from the last chapter we read? Is that our God is an awesome God who reigns forever and ever. That he will make a refuge for us. He will make a way when there seems to be no way. That he will pull us out of that tight place that we just cannot figure out how in the world are we going to overcome this situation. But our God, when we put our faith and trust in him, he's the answer. See, this is what I'm saying going back to the homeless people without God. They have no hope. Jesus is our hope. There's always hope. Even if we're on crooked roads. I told you about my tour when my map would take me to different roads. I'd be like, why am I here? And then I would figure it out. Oh, there's somebody here you want me to minister to, huh? You know, and I'd let him lead the way. Even on wrong turns. He can still use you over there. Okay? Now, listen to this very, very carefully. Verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words. Wow. That is so profound to me. Because when I think about our current day king, his words are vile. Vile. Full of lies and deceit, evil. It hurts the ears to hear the lies. They're not pure. Even though it says it's in a truth social, it says it's the truth. It's not the truth. But the words of the Lord are pure. You know, I was listening to this preacher this morning, and she was saying that when she was a kid, that she was watching these men put these gold bars in this bucket. And she was like, wow, how much money is that? And then she saw them burning the gold in this real hot kettle. And as they was melting the gold, there was this black stuff coming to the top as it was boiling. And they would take this thing in there and they would scrape off that black stuff. And she asked them, why are you doing that? And they said, we're purifying the gold. As it is burning in the fire of affliction, come on now, all of that junk comes to the surface. And God pulls that off of us to reveal the pure gold. Isn't that beautiful? We have to get that junk out, that vomit out, that blackness, that darkness, you know. And this is what we're going to pray about this morning, that we would all, you know, all of us be delivered from all blackness, blots, darts, evil, vomit, that it all comes off of us today. Amen. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. That's a lot of purification, isn't it? Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Preserve us, O Lord. Preserve us for your glory. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest man is exalted. Ouch, 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 ouch. Because we see that right now. The vilest man, the most powerful man on the entire planet, he's vile. So the wicked walk on every side. So in other words, be careful, because wickedness is all around, you know, type of deal. So that's all I have today for an encouraging word, is that God will back up the poor and the needy against the proud. He will set us in safety. Isn't that beautiful? Because I still remember the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they were able to plunder the wicked and go out of there, you know, better off than they was in there. And then, you know, because they were slaves. And then they go out into the desert, and then Pharaoh and his army come after them. And then the children of Israel get scared because the army is approaching them. And they're very, very close. And this is how we are feeling right now in this end time situation, is that the beast and his armies are very, very close. And so at least for me, I've been feeling that pressure, you know, that, oh, it could really happen within this month. I mean, it could happen this year, you know, is what I was thinking. And it kind of brings a fear, like, am I really ready for this, you know? Am I ready? You know, is Dennis ready? What do we do about this? And what are we, you know, trying to figure it all out myself. And it's been driving me batty, you know. But like the Lord has encouraged me yesterday and today, just be still. Be still and know that I am God. You know, he is the one that's in control. Just, you know, because we have been warning about this for 6 years now. But now that it's here, it's a little too close to home, if you know what I mean. It's a little too scary because it's now here after all this time of warning. So it's like, you know. But the Lord is confirming that, be still and know that I am God. I will protect you. I will be with you, lead you, and guide you. I will have my face upon you and will shine, you know, over you and everything. So what I would like to do right now is I would like to pray for all of you guys and just receive it. Let's get rid of all of our blots that, you know, sometimes we can get a blot if we're disappointed by God. If somebody died that we trusted God for and then they die, that can really hurt. That can leave a big old blot. Or if our life does not turn out the way that we thought it should because of different circumstances, that could be an anger towards God. You know, but this morning we're going to forgive him and we're going to forgive ourselves and the other people. And we're going to ask him to just heal our blots, our scars, and all that kind of stuff. So let's all pray. Lord, we just come before you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your precious word. We thank you, Lord, that you have confirmed to us in your word, which is pure. You have confirmed to us that you love us, that you're watching us, that you will take care of us, Lord, that you will go before us, you will prepare the path, and for us to just be still and trust you, Lord. So I pray stillness over us this morning, calmness in the spirit over us. We rebuke the spirit of anxiety. We rebuke the spirit of fear right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just decree and declare that your joy is filling us like a river, Lord, that heavenly joy that only can come from heaven, that it would fill our tree, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll reach down in every tree that is listening, and that you will go down in there and pull all them spirits out of their roots. Pull all the clogs down there through their past hurts and pains and traumas and disappointments and letdowns and the plots and plans of the enemy and all that kind of stuff. Hold on, guys. Thank you, guys. Dennis just popped in here to tell me something. But anyway, Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you reach down in there and examine our heart. That's what your word says, is that you're the searcher of man's hearts. Reach down in there and pull all them blocked arteries out. Pull all the darkness, those blots, those hurts, the scars of the past, the hurts and pains. Only you can do this, Lord. Only you. And today we forgive. We forgive all these people. We forgive ourselves. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for harboring bitterness. Forgive us for harboring that hurt. Forgive us for allowing the blot to come in. Forgive us, Lord. Heal us, deliver us, and set us free, Lord. Let the rivers of living water begin to flow freely through us today, refreshing our tree, Lord, growing fresh fruit that will remain. Use us, Lord, for the days that we have left, Lord, for your glory. Oh Lord, how we worship and praise your most holy name this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your corrective word that you have given us this week. The chastisement, the alignment, the positioning, the preparing, the refiner's fire, and all of the being on the potter's wheel. We just thank you, Lord, for this week. You are so worthy to be praised, Lord. There is none like you. You are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen.